We confess our faith this morning in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It was not, as some allege in the world, an innovation added by Christians in later years to enhance their religion. Let me ask you, could God raise someone from the dead? You know he could. The God who created all things from nothing could surely raise someone from the dead if that was his intention, and it was. The scripture says he did just that. He tells us that in historical narrative, not in poetic or symbolic or apocalyptic language, in historical narratives. We know God's word is true, but what is it about these historical narratives that confirms their credibility, even to a secular reader? There are at least six things. First, they were recorded soon after the events. The first three Gospels and all Paul's letters were written before 70 AD, just 35 years or less after the events they report. Second, they contain eyewitness testimony. John and Matthew write in their Gospels about things they witnessed. Peter's sermons and Acts testify of the resurrection. Paul speaks of witnesses to the risen Christ in his letter to the Corinthians. He says this, "For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen by Cephas, then by the 12. After that, he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep. After that, he was seen by James, and then by all the apostles. Then last of all, he was seen also by me, as one born out of due time." Now, Peter said he received this truth. Who did he receive it from? Or Paul says that. I suggest that he received it from Peter and James, because that's who he went and talked to in Jerusalem 3 years after he was converted. And so the narrative that he gives talks about being seen by Cephas and by James. Third reason, manufactured history doesn't include details which embarrass the writers. Yet these accounts do have such details. The Gospels tell us that the apostles fled after Jesus' arrest, while the women followed Jesus to the cross. The women are the ones who went to the tomb on the first day, and they witnessed the resurrection when the apostles were all huddled together in a room in Jerusalem. So these embarrassing details also testify to the truth. Fourth, the disciples who witnessed Jesus alive after death all suffered torture and terrible deaths for their witness to the resurrection. They could have escaped by denying the resurrection, that it wasn't true. What could have made people endure such pain except the absolute certainty that they had seen Jesus rise from the dead, alive after dead? Anyone who made up such a thing could never endure the things they had to endure, the witnesses they had to give. Fifth, the circumstances of Jesus' death matched the scriptural prophecies. For example, Isaiah 53 describes in details the circumstances of Jesus' suffering and death. It was written 700 years before Jesus' birth. We also have existing copies of Isaiah written before Jesus was born. The Dead Sea Scrolls, the most prominent thing in the Dead Sea Scrolls, the most prominent book is Isaiah. They could not have been written after the death to match what happened to Jesus. It had to happen before. Sixth, there are at least 10 extra biblical references, sources like Jewish and Roman historians in the 150 years after the crucifixion, which confirm that Christians were consistently believing that Jesus was raised from the dead. It's not a later innovation. So we may say with the greatest confidence, the tomb is empty, he is alive indeed. Amen.